Good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. It's the end of day on the last day of term, the last term of the year. So it's very fortunate for us here at LSE that we were able to find this window in Esteban's diary. We're very fortunate that we're also joined today by the ambassador of Argentina to the UK, His Excellency Carlos Cersalle. And we're also joined here by Mrs. Borlik, Esteban's wife, and of course, staff and student of LSE. George, sitting over there, is vice president of the student group called the Emerging Markets Forum, and he in particular was very keen that we get this done. So we're all very grateful. Let me do a very quick introduction of Esteban, then I will hand the floor to him. Esteban Borlik is the Honorable Minister of Education, Government of Argentina. Between 2010 and 2015, he was the Minister of Education of the autonomous city of Buenos Aires. He was born and raised in the city of Buenos Aires, and after completing his bachelor's, he obtained his graduate degree from the United States at the Kellogg School of Management. And I believe he also went back subsequently as an Eisenhower Fellow. Perhaps in anticipation of Esteban's visit to the LSE this week, the PISA results came out also this week. The Program for International Student Assessment, PISA, the results were out, and The Economist magazine, in its reporting of the results, made a special mention of Buenos Aires and Esteban. If I may just quote from it. The city of Buenos Aires had the largest jump in overall scores. This is true for science, for reading, and for maths. For Esteban Borlik, the minister in charge of education from 2010 to 15, the initial aim was to make sure that pupils were being taught. Teachers were spending 12 to 15 days per year on strike. To try and reduce those absences, he first made his mobile phone number public and began fielding calls directly from teachers. He extended the school day. He offered a deal, higher salaries in exchange for taking their job more seriously. The grip of the unions was loosened when it came to promotions, more rigorous teacher training, etc., etc. And I'm sure we'll hear more of that shortly. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Esteban Borlik.
Hello, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Our coalition is called Cambiemos, which stands for Let's Change. And I couldn't change the Argentinian tradition of being late. I'm sorry. So we just arrived from Rome, and the plane was a little bit late. Anyway, I hope this will be a conversation. So I'll make a brief introduction of what we are trying to do in education in Argentina now. What I think it's always very important to know where you come from. And those results of the city come from a very low level. So it's easy to rise to a medium level. The biggest problem we face usually is to rise to the next level. And the next level, Argentina is ranked in the low 40s. The city was ranked in the low 30s. So we don't think that's the place where we want to be in education. So I want to make that clear, because it was mentioned in the article, but not in the piece that Latfi read. Basically, what we face when we arrive to the government is a very loose sight of information. There was no commitment to statistics and to reality. And so one of the first problems you face when trying to solve a problem is having the facts, and the facts were not there. And so one of the first things we did is start to look at rebuilding facts. Everywhere, not only in education, but also in education. Even today, I don't know how many students the education system has. We are working on rebuilding that database, that information, by investing in a connection of every single school in Argentina to the internet and building a management system for every single school that would help teachers, headmasters, and provincial school systems to have better information. This information has to be used for the most important thing you can think of in education, which is improving teacher training. The education system today is built as a machine to mass produce. Students are mass produced. There is no personalization of education, and we need to go to a very personalized system. We cannot keep on educating students as if all of them were equal. If they had the same context, background, family, that's not the case. And more so in Argentina, where disparities in socioeconomic backgrounds are very big. As a matter of fact, one of the things that is not mentioned in the article, and is one thing that should be said about Buenos Aires, is the unit that has been measured by PISA that has the biggest inequality. It's the city of Buenos Aires is the place where socioeconomic background is the best predictor of the result in PISA. So that's something we didn't solve during the stay in the city, and we need to solve it, and we need to solve it at the national level too. As a matter of fact, there were students in the city that perform at Finland level and students in the city that perform at Mexico levels. So the two ends of what PISA was measuring. And we believe with the president that the way to do that is to change the way the system is looked at, not as three different units, but as one flow where you start when you're very young. We want a school system that starts at three. You get to a primary school with 3 years of early childhood education. Once you are in primary school, there you need to learn to read and write. This sounds incredible, but 50% of the kids that end secondary school in Argentina, 50% of those that end, that finish, that graduate from secondary school, do not have reading comprehension skills today. So we need to make sure that they do that during their primary school. They have to learn basic math, basic geometry, and understand how to express themselves orally and in written form. And then once they get to a secondary school, then the school system turns into a personal experience where all kids have to be exposed to as many areas of human knowledge as possible, especially those that flourish in the areas and regions where the schools are. Today there is very little relation between the school and where you live in terms of what you learn, jobs you can access, and ideas you can develop. So we are personalizing the system at this region level and then at the student level. We do this by freeing up the curriculum. During this year, tomorrow is going to be 1 year since we took office. And during this year, we work with 24 different ministers. We are a federal system, so I need to persuade my fellow ministers to do changes. And so we've been working very hard to do that. I was very lucky that most of them really have a similar view, and we've been building this view together. So we're working, as I was saying, to just crush the curriculum. There's no fixed curriculum. Every single province can develop its own curriculum. And our goal is that every single school, especially in secondary, can develop its own curriculum. What we did do is agree on a set of competencies, abilities, that kids need to learn for sure during their school time. And to do that, Lavi didn't introduce him, but Gabriel Sanchezin is working with me. He's Secretary of Technical Education of vocational training in the country. And Gabriel has been working with the private sector, the social sector, to learn what, and the universities, to learn what capabilities and competencies kids need to know and learn and acquire during their school time. Once we got that, we merged them with what we thought were the competencies, and we came to a set of, a mutual set of consensus where those abilities are the ones we're going to measure. Now, how you get to those abilities is up to you. To do that, we need to train every single student to its most top level to develop its own talent, to really increase the capacity that they have to develop its own talent, to be able to really flourish in their talent and not think that there is nowhere that they can do that. Today, 50% of the kids in Argentina do not finish high school. And a lot of them do so because they don't see high school providing anything to them. So we need to change that too. And that's the way we're working with the different provinces, trying to make sure that we get there with teacher training. Teacher training divided in two. Why in two? We think there are two different careers, one for teacher training and one for leadership, school leadership. School leadership today is basically inherited. You just need to stay long enough in the system to become a headmaster. You don't have special training to become a headmaster. You don't are trained in leadership. You just stay long enough and go through the career. The problem is, if you really want to raise your salary level, you cannot do it inside the classroom. You have to get outside of the classroom and get there and try to see if you can get to the headmaster level, which is the biggest salary. Already in the city, we changed that. In the city, what we did is we created a position within the classroom where you could raise your salary level to almost the level of a headmaster, but stay in the classroom. To do that, you had to train teachers in your off hours. We would pay you extra if you were a good teacher and you wanted to stay in the classroom, if you train other teachers. And in that way, collaborate to improve the level of the school. We are doing something similar at the national level, and this we are doing with the consensus of the provinces. So we're going to separate two careers. This has been long talked about in Argentina, but never implemented, and that's where we're going to go. Finally, small piece on universities. It takes to graduate an engineer in Argentina 7 years. Average Europe, the U.S. is four and a half years. They are not the same level engineers. Argentinian engineers have a much better background, more studying time, and of course they're not the same professionals. But they are considered the same to the world. And we need to change that too. So we're working with the universities in improving the mobility of students within the system. Today it's very fixed. Once you start a career in the system, even within the same university, changing careers means starting over. There is no credits. So we're going to a credit system. And we already signed an agreement with 60 out of close to 100 universities that exist in Argentina that are going to go and build this new credit system to improve the mobility and also to look at making sure that someone that stays 7 years in university gets a higher degree than just an engineer, be it PhD, be it a master's, whatever it is, compared to the international level. So again, trying to relate our education system more to the international level and make sure that the mobility, even in the region, Latin America is the biggest Spanish-speaking region, but we don't have any big agreement on education systems. Our education systems don't connect to each other. At the teacher level, the student level, changing universities is very hard. Becoming a professional in one of our countries with the title of another country is very hard. So we're working at the Mercosur level, and also at the Latin American level to try to get those together. On February, on January we have a meeting of ministers of education of the region, end of January, and then on February we have a meeting of the university leaders of the region to make a big step forward, signing an agreement among us that we are gonna improve the correlation of our systems as much as we can. Brief summary. Jumped to a different level, so I just wanted to kick this over with this. So I open up to questions, comments, criticism.
I wanted to ask you, you said it's a federal system and you have to have buy-in from the ministers at the federal level. Yeah. So how did you build the consensus? Because reform and change is not always what?
Well, The first thing I did when I arrived to a position was travel to each single province. Within the first month and a half, so I took office in on December 10th, and by end of January, I had visited every single province, sat down with every single education minister and his or her team, and agreed on where we're going to be in 2030. So basically, our goal is in 2030 to be top five education system in the world. That's what the goal we set. And the reason we set it far away is because it's easier to look at a faraway goal, especially in education, you need to do that. I think one of the problems in Argentina is we've been changing laws every 10 years, and that's really bad for education. And so in looking at the faraway goal, then we started to set up what decisions we had to make on the way. And it was a very successful process in aligning certain 15 points that we put on a paper, and we, the 25 ministers, 24 provincial and the national, signed an agreement on February 12th, so almost 2 months to the date after we took office, agreeing on those points. Since then, we've been working on the curriculum and freeing up the curriculum, on agreeing on the consensus on the competencies and capabilities. We've been looking at changes within the system. We've been freeing funds to the provinces for them to work out before the national government decided which programs will go to the provinces. Now we give them the money and they decide what to do, because I think it's not correct to think that every single solution will work in every single province the same way. So what we do is try to measure how they work and see which ones they do. But they decide how to spend the money that the national government puts among or on top of the money that they have. So we've been working on that. And the idea is to keep on working on that, on building this consensus. Now, the toughest part is building the provincial target for the next 5 and 10 years. We're working on building 24 different agreements, one with each province, where we'll set up targets on inclusion. We want to have 100% of graduation rate in secondary. We want to increase time, school time, as the city had increased. Argentina has 9% only of schools with extended hours. So more than 90% of the schools in Argentina have 4 hours of studying, either in the morning or in the afternoon in primary. And in secondary, you can have a night shift too. We want to change that. We want to have 6-hour school days, extending the school time. And by doing that, improving the teacher salary too, because it will be more hours. And so we're looking at building that with every single province, because the situation in each province is different, and so we need to look at the local background. Yep. Okay. First part, definitely it plays a role. Not only in the fact that some kids leave their school because they need to work for their family. We have 33% poverty in Argentina. So that has a plays a role for sure. Also, it plays a role in the fact that there is no incentive if there is no job creation. They don't see why school will help them. And so that's something that also doesn't help. But
may I just have a quick follow-up question?
Sure.
So it's clear that there's a lack of economic incentive, so a lack of prospects. Would you say that in terms of that, there's as much? How would you go about trying to encourage that economic?
I think the previous government put in place a program that was very good. It's called Asignación Universal. It's kind of basically a universal welfare program that will go to kids that go to school. The problem is that sometimes the incentives not to be in the school is higher than the program. And the second one is that not necessarily all schools control that the kid goes to school anyway. And so it's a disincentive in a way. In Brazil, when they imposed a similar program called Bolsa Trabajo, in the first year, 1 million families lost the Bolsa Trabajo because the kids were not going to school. And so it really created, you know, like a culture of, you know, you lose the program. It's not something, I think there's something that has to be done in terms of, you know, being a strong incentive.